Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I don't see him in studio. Lance is with us, though. He's connected, right? He's here. Lance, you there?
Yeah. I'm here in New Braunfels with my mom.
Yeah.
My mom's going through a rough period right now, and I think we're going to lose her, unfortunately, and I want to be with her at the end.
That's great. So. That is great. You do that and take care of the family. That is good. That is good. I hate to hear that. And she is, well, wow, what a weekend we're expecting, huh? Do you guys see what they're calling for this weekend?
Where are you talking about exactly?
In Texas.
Houston?
Yeah.
Are you getting
Houston.
Another rainstorm or a mud? Are you going to get
a mud storm
or something in California?
In Houston, they're calling for ice storms. They say this is going to be worse, way worse. This is the ice and the cold and, I mean, they're talking about 3 inches
really?
Of ice. They're talking about loss of life. The grid's going to fail. Refinery shut down. Water system shut down.
What?
I mean, yeah, this is going to be, it's coming down. I don't know if it's going to reach us all the way in Houston, but they're calling for freezing temperatures. You better call Billy Brown. You had better get Billy Brown over. You
Holy
better
crap.
Wrap them pipes, okay? Because it's coming. It's coming.
Sounds like you're
Texas.
Talking directly to me.
Yeah, everybody out there. This is no joke, and it's coming all the way down. It's throughout the South, the whole South. You know, what was it? Last winter we had 7 inches in Florida. We had snow. They had New Orleans had 8-12 inches of snow. I mean, this is starting to be a common occurrence, and now we got another storm like that coming your way. They think this might be even worse. So you guys watch out over there. Watch out.
I don't know if I can trust you after your last weather app update.
Well, that was Rick who said, you know, New England was going to have, although,
70 degrees.
Did you see how it was in New England that day?
It got colder. It didn't get to, it wasn't
cold and snow.
And
it affected CJ so badly that he could not perform. Okay.
No, pass rush affected CJ.
Well, everything seemed to affect. I mean, on the first play of the game, he rolled out and threw it about 5 yards short of the receiver. It was like, what the hell kind of start is that, CJ? What are you doing? What are we doing here? That should have been a. I've seen more and more people calling for him saying they really believe. Well, first of all, they didn't know that. Do you think it would have had to been a collaboration between Nick and D'Amico for that D'Amico would have had to call Nick to pull him?
No,
I don't believe that. Although at halftime, I could certainly see him talking about it. If they were going to do it at halftime, I could certainly just see D'Amico saying, "You know, I'm going to tell Nick about this."
Well, number one, you're not allowed to have any communicative devices down on the sideline.
But at halftime.
If he had access to Nick, but to me, I don't feel like that's the. You know, there are some relationships where the power structure. I don't get the sense that the power structure is Nick, Big Boss, and D'Amico underneath him. I get the fact that it almost feels like it's co-equal, don't you? And if it's not, then I think Nick does a good job of making it feel that way, but I think that's a 100% D'Amico Ryan's thing. But D'Amico is probably out of the 32 coaches, he's probably one of the last five that would have made a move to the backup quarterback.
Yeah.
I knew it wouldn't happen. I think there are some elements of D'Amico probably doesn't think this way. I think Nick would think this way. Like, if you do that, it causes friction with David Mulugeta. It ruins CJ's confidence even more, which I think is a real concern right now. The CJ level of confidence, I think, is a major. The more I'm thinking about it, and the more I see the body language, and the more I see the look on his face, and the more I talk to people, I think it's a major problem. Is somehow you're going to have to find a way to rebuild this young man's confidence, because it is really shot right now. No matter what anyone tells you, we all see what we see. Don't let people gaslight you into believing that, oh, these two games are just hiccups. I've heard people say it after the Steeler game, and I'm not buying it, and I doubt you are either. We see what we see. We know what we know. And so now the thing is, how do you fix it? You know, how do you fix it? There's some big macro questions that are going to have to be answered, but the micro question is, how do you fix it for 2026? The macro question obviously is contract related, and we do that all the time. It's not, you know, you have to worry about it just yet, but I think D'Amico is always going to have his quarterbacks back, because he knows. I think he's got a good feel for CJ, and I think he knows that. Well, number one, yeah, at his heart, he knows that. I actually think he believed that.
I do too. But I think that you got to think about the team too. I really do.
I don't think he wasn't thinking about it though, John. I think he thought CJ can do it, and that's what's best for the team. I think in his mind, he was doing what was best for the team. In my mind, I have a different mind.
Yeah, I don't. You know,
My brain works different.
Yeah, I guess. You know, he had.
They say I'm a hater. People say I'm a hater.
He had to be thinking that it was best for the team. I'm not sure that he's right about that. Not sure that it's right. Yeah, I mean,
I agree.
You're midway through the third quarter, maybe going into, you know, after they scored and they put him up. You know, you got to think maybe somebody can give us a lift. Maybe, because CJ just wasn't the guy that day. He just wasn't. And you know what? You gotta do it. If it's any other position, you know, hey, you're having a rough day. Come sit here. You know, let somebody else go. Any other position. You know, if a guard is getting beat all day, you know what? Let's throw juice out. Let's try something different. But just because it's the quarterback position, you don't do that. I don't know. I don't think that's what's best for the team. But because we've seen plenty of backup quarterbacks, they're not as good. Yes, the backup quarterback Davis Mills is not as good. But you know what? CJ just didn't have it that day. And if you don't have it that day, you call for a reliever. And he didn't do it. And I really believe that you never know. You just never know if somebody can give the whole team a boost. It's happened plenty of times in NFL history. You know what happened last night though? The best win of the season for the Rockets.
What a fourth quarter. Did you know they could still defend?
Holy crap. And I saw some guys talking about, first of all, Kevin Durant was unbelievable defensively. And Reed Shepard was great defensively as well. He had so many tip balls. He had so many pick. Reed was not only great. I think it's so underrated. Yeah, everybody's looking at the threes and the 12 points in the fourth quarter. 21 points led the team. He brought them back. The 3-point. After the game, I watched the whole press conference with him. He said, oh, what did you like about Reed? He said, hey, I even liked the one he shot from 40 feet. He airballed. I even liked that one because it just showed me how confident he was. I was like, oh, God, Reed, what are you doing? Holy crap. And Ime was like, I loved it. It was great. Because it showed he's got a lot of confidence. You want to talk about a guy who picked up a team? Reed Shepard came off the bench and was fantastic. Alpie was great. Alpie had great numbers against Durant was unbelievable. Efficient shooting, and his defense against Wemby was incredible. Jabari was fantastic at the end.
He was
awesome.
My son Mason called it a masterclass defensively. Now he texted NASTE class, and I'd like to give him the benefit of the doubt that was just a I think he mistyped it, but there is a chance that he thinks it's called a NASTE class. Like he doesn't know what that means. There's a chance. And I said, "Do you mean masterclass?" He goes, "Yes."
Okay.
So you know, there's just a chance that he didn't know
He's young.
But he was just like, Dad, are you watching this incredible comeback.
It was awesome. It was
and
awesome.
I have it. I have the San Antonio feed here in New Braunfels, so
they were not.
They
happy.
Weren't very. They weren't that happy with how things were going, and they talked a lot about the fact that the Rockets smothering deep. That the Rockets how good the defense was in the fourth, how smothering it was, how sticky it was. You know, they were talking about defensively what the Rockets are doing in the fourth quarter, and you know, and of course the Reed Shepherd. Like that's. See, this is why, to me, I don't know that Reed Shepherd, in time, I'm sure he's going to be a starter, but I'm just fine with him being a sixth or seventh man. I'm just fine. That's you know, when he gets hot, he can have these kind of quarters. He really can. Now, when he's not, he sometimes can become a liability. But, man, what a game. What a fourth quarter for Reed. What a fourth quarter for Jabari, for Kevin Durant, for the Rockets. And, you know, they played – They got outplayed in the first, and then, you know, they just kind of just held steady into the fourth quarter, and then just set the tone early in the fourth.
Well, the defense was just incredible, and Wemby just killed him last night. Not only was he 1 for 11 in the second half, but the Rockets shot 8 of 12 with him as the closest defender, and they just now. This happened before where LP dominated Wemby. Then Wemby dominated LP. And now this one, Wemby was a big reason why the San Antonio lost this game last night. He was bad. He was just really, really bad. They forced him, Jabari, Durant, LP, they all forced him on fadeaways all night long. And he was just awful. He was just awful. It was awesome to see. I mean, that was a down 16. 61-45, and to come back the way that they did. Listen, the first quarter, you say they got beat. The Rockets were shooting 60% from the field, and they were down by 7 or 8 or 10. It was incredible how San Antonio. Champagne was just incredible early on. You couldn't miss anything. And the Rockets weren't playing bad. They just couldn't stop San Antonio at all. And then San Antonio could do nothing in the second half. That was just... That was a fantastic game. That was just so much fun for the Rockets. That biggest comeback of the year, and they gotta beat that team. I mean, that's a team. Look, the West is as good. I mean, you're gonna have to go through San Antonio. You're gonna have to go through Denver. You're gonna have to go through Oklahoma City. I mean, you need some of these games. These regular season. If you don't think they don't mean anything.
I'm starting to think they have to go through Houston after last night. I'm starting to think they have to come through Houston.
Well, listen,
this
early
is that
on,
same level of confidence that I had back in 23 after the season ended with CJ at quarterback. I'm starting to think, you know what? You may have to come through. We may have one of the top six quarterbacks and top two teams in the league.
Wow. Wow.
Well, I'm using the old 23.
I know we're not going mentality with the quarterback anymore. I don't know if you heard. I know we're not doing that anymore.
I keep hearing that it's no big deal. Like, hey, you remember what he did in 23? I'm like, yeah. I mean, I remember what Christian Javier did in 22. So what?
Yeah. I know. Yeah. It is. And this is we're doing this without Steve. It was pretty good. Hey, Clint Capella even came in and gave you some great minutes last night. Steven Adams out indefinitely with an ankle that looks like 6 weeks, at least 6 weeks. So that's a problem, and especially against the Wemby, he would have been out there last night for sure, and he's done now. So picking up Clint Capella wasn't just a luxury; it is something now that you are going to have to depend on. Going forward here, he's going to get some more significant minutes, and he showed up last night. That was nice. What a great win. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. Coaching moves. We've got baseball to talk, a little baseball to talk. I want to talk to you about what you think about Texans needs. We got all kinds of stuff to do here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, and if you want to get in, 713-780-3776. Right now, though, you're talking John Daspit.
Yeah. You know, John Daspit, I was thinking about this. I saw on the way up here when I drove up here to New Braunfels yesterday, and I saw a wreck on the side of the road. And I always feel for those people because you don't know what's going on with them physically. And then you don't know, like I've thought about the fact that, man, somebody may have just, you know, had a fracture in their neck or their back. And what if they're the breadwinner? How are they going to work for the family? How are they going to, you know, help make those bills off? What if they don't have any health insurance? You know, what's going to happen? Well, what happens is, if John Daspit is on the case, he's going to make sure that all your medical bills are taken care of, all your physical therapy, your surgery, whatever is necessary there. But then he's also going to make sure that all of your pain and suffering is compensated, and that requires real compensation. And of course, he wants to make sure that your compensation for your work is compensated. If it's short term or long term, that is something that insurance, you know, he wants to make sure that insurance company pays for that as well, because you can't work any longer. It could be short term, it could be long term, but he wants to make sure it's compensated. If you don't have John Daspin on your side, the insurance companies will take advantage of you. They will squeeze you. And that's unfortunate, but that's the way it is. So you need someone on your side. John Daspit is that someone. Make sure that you have John Daspit on your side by simply calling and consulting at 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW, or go to DaspitLaw.com.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Look at the Texans sitting on their hands. Look what happened. You see what happened? Not doing what they're supposed to do, and look what happens. Mike Daniels goes to the Chargers. When, in fact, he wanted to come here, as I understand it.
Who went to the Chargers?
Mike McDaniel.
Oh, God, I know that sucks.
I know. I mean, As I presume he wanted to come to the Texans. I didn't understand it. I presume. Why would you not want to come here?
That's really the move. I didn't realize the Chargers had moved on from OC. But that actually makes a lot of sense when you think about it. He's got a good young quarterback, or he's got one with some talent. There's some stuff, Justin stuff, to work out. But, it's so hard right now. It's literally, you were on your fourth and fifth and sixth tackles over with the Chargers. Like, you watch that tape, and there's just times where it was bad. And I know CJ had pressure at times, but it was like, people who try to equate the two is not even close. The Chargers, they were good. They were literally going to get killed. They were going to get Justin Herbert absolutely killed. That guy got obliterated most of the time. So Mike McDaniel strikes me as a guy who would like it better on the West Coast.
His wife's from California.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean,
but,
it makes
but
sense.
What California
Did Mike
doesn't
get fired
love Texas?
From Houston?
Every Californian is moving to Texas.
I know, but you know what? I think Mike McDaniel, I think they got rid of him here in Houston. I think they fired him here in Houston when he was on one of those young quality control guys. I think I read that they got rid of him for alcohol issues. Not that it would matter now, but, you know, because he's clean and sober. And I read a story, I didn't even know anything about it, about how he was, who was the coach that helped him out? There was a coach. It wasn't Sala. I'm trying to remember who it was. Somebody who was on from that staff, or there was somebody on another staff that hired him. It wasn't Shanahan. I feel like it was somebody who basically gave him, and maybe it was Shanahan who basically pulled him out of the pile and said, look, I'm going to give you another chance. You know, they knew each other from the Texans, and Mike McDaniel had a bad drinking problem and overcame his demons.
I would have thought weed. I would have thought weed for him, but okay.
Well, back then.
Yeah, even still.
You never know.
Dude just seems like he looks like a weed guy to me. That's all.
He does. Know. He looks a lot different than he did when he was with the Texans. If you ever get a chance to see him with the Texans, it's a different look than right now.
Yeah, he got some kind of style, or somebody that you know, changed his whole look. Anyway, Mike McDaniel and the Texans do not hook up, and that's kind of a shame. Although, if you want to hear, as a matter of fact, CJ, it's hard to say because what did CJ say last offseason after last season about Bobby Slowick? I forget.
He was positive. He said he and Bobby got along.
Yeah, right. He was positive about. Right. I mean, obviously, he's not going to go, yeah, that's a problem. You know, Bobby Slowick was a real problem, and you know that's why we regressed, and so we're going to have to get rid of him. No, you can't do that. And then asked about Kaylee. Here is what CJ had to say.
You know, one of the biggest games of my career, you know, and I didn't have the best day, but I could look back at other games of my career where I did show up, and I know that I had more of those than I had yesterday. So, you know, I'm going to look forward to the next opportunity I get.
CJ, working with opportunities being with Nick Kaylee, do you feel like y'all can build on something, Nick Kaylee?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I love Kales. You know, I think, you know, there's growth and, you know, in our relationship, there's growth and, you know, his ability to call plays, growth and, you know, D'Amico trusted him. So, you know, whatever, you know, our coaches aside, you know, and you know, I love Kales and I'm rocking with him, you know, when however long he's going to be here.
Excuse me.
However long he's going to be. What, Del? What?
CJ has a tendency to evaluate the progress of his play callers as they go along. There's always like, yeah, he continues to grow in his play calling. He did it with Slowick too. I'm like, is that normal? Do like other quarterbacks give updates on their play callers' growth and development as the season goes along?
That struck me as strange, except it was that same mentality with Caleb Williams where he looks from a different perch. Like he's looking from an overview as opposed to just being the quarterback. Now, what he said wasn't wrong. It is just unusual for – it's almost like he's in a position, not subservient. What's the opposite of subservient? In a more senior position where he's like, yeah, that little guy's really coming along.
Well, he's
talking like a coach. Like, yeah, we saw a lot of growth with him.
Say he wouldn't say this if he was working with Andy Reid or with Josh McDaniels because they've been doing it for years. He's got first-time guys. So them growing as play callers is kind of a big deal. I mean, he wouldn't pat him on the head, hey, little bro, you're doing a good job calling plays, if it was, you know, somebody who had some experience. He's dealing with two coordinators in the NFL that had no experience.
And as a coordinator, I would respond, you know that first play of the game where I dialed up something to get you going and yeah, wide open? Maybe you develop and hit that guy as opposed to dirt in the ball. How about you develop that way? Because when I got you a good look to start the game in a playoff game, the biggest game of your career, you completely trashed my play call.
Well, yes, that. But then he came right back and hit Christian Kirk, and Christian Kirk decided to just trash Kaylee's call. Okay, everybody was trashing Kaylee's calls the other day. Everybody. 713-780-3776, ESPN 97.5. Chris from the Woodlands is here, wants to talk about the Rockets. What do you say, Chris?
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you this morning? Love the show. Hey, Lance, this question's, I guess, for you. Why is it when Reed or somebody does good, we don't hear Israel and those punk, I don't know if I can say it on the air, guys call in to give him a little bit of props? You know, it seems like if CJ does something good or those guys, they always want you to, like, you know, glaze them, as our kids would say. I got five just like you, so using their term. But when Reed or somebody like actually helps us out and does something good, we get nothing from it. It's a quiet, like Gary's not calling in. We don't hear anything about Israel. Just curious, have you heard from these guys in a while?
No, but to be fair, Israel hasn't called for several months since Reed's first good game. But Gary, I don't think Gary calls about Rockets. So I don't want to lump Gary in there with Israel, because Israel had a really – he was just very anti-Reed Shepard, and that's not really a thing anymore. And he's certainly not going to call and say, man, hey, my bad, I'm glad Reed's playing well. He's never going to give you that call, so it's probably just I'm just not going to call thing.
Yeah, we haven't heard from Israel forever, so
yeah,
certainly not going to hear from him when Reed has a good game. But Gary has been a lot less
he's been more
racially motivated –
Yeah, he's talking ball. He's just talking ball with us. He's had some good calls lately.
Gary's been good. Gary's been good. Yeah. So
I like him to get back to his previous demeanor.
Stop it, Dell.
I mean, I miss it.
Oh, well. I mean, he could have called in about Indiana, all them white guys they had that won.
I mean, I'm pretty sure, well, Becker, he may not want to give any credit to, I don't know. But I'm pretty sure the final play was made by a South, I guess, I think that kid's from South Florida. But, yeah, it was a black cornerback. We're still making plays out there.
Yeah, no. It's not like it's Iowa where you got all white corners.
Well, they got good ones, though. That would be the difference.
No, but I was, during the game, there were like, I don't know, I was like, man, Indiana's got too many white guys on the field.
Not too many. They did win.
They did win
a national championship.
Yeah, I mean when Fletcher broke that one, I thought
they did look a little slow.
A nice blend of good players. Yeah, they weren't catching Mark Fletcher.
No, they were not. No, they were not.
Matter of fact, Mark Fletcher just left him in the dirt.
Do you guys see at the end of the game, Fletcher got into it with one of the defensive linemen for
Tyreek Tucker. He
kind of slapped him upside the head.
Yeah, it looked like he tried to slap him across his face.
Did you see he came back out of the locker room, though, and he congratulated Mendoza?
They had a nice
and they
moment,
hugged.
Yeah. So the former Miami player, Mike Rumpf, who's now on the staff, had a cup of coffee with the 49ers.
Is that Chris Rumpf? That's Chris Rumpf's
Mike
dad.
Rumpf.
No, I don't know. I don't think, it's not Chris Rumpf's dad. At least I haven't heard that connection.
No. His dad's a position coach.
Yeah, it's not Chris Rumpf's dad. But he commented on one of the social media posts highlighting the incident and said, I've known Mark for years. This is not who he is. But the guy, the tackle in question, made comment about Mark's dead dad.
Oh. Well, that's...
And
that's
of course, awesome.
I'm going to take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's been a lot of people come up with the most incendiary stuff.
Who knows?
A lot of times it's racial and it's not and it's fake. That is an incendiary thing that it's easy to get behind. I want to give Tyreek the benefit of the doubt that he wouldn't do that. Now you could tell he was doing something to taunt.
Yeah,
Fletcher. I saw that previously. He was taunting him. The dead dad thing, man, you better be 100% sure to try to put that on another person.
Yes, I don't know where Rumpf got it from. Maybe got it from Fletcher himself. But, I mean, the character of Mark Fletcher, at least before that incident, was unquestioned. So I know a lot of people in that program and around the program would say something insane would have had to happen for Mark Fletcher to go try to punch a guy.
Yeah.
And if that's – I don't know, obviously.
Yeah. And then later he's out there with Mendoza hugging him, so – Yeah.
It was a good. Hey, he the moment like it's not the end of the world.
No.
He didn't punch him unconscious. He, you know, it was an unfortunate moment. They broke it. They luckily got it. Somebody with the Miami staff got it broken up quick. But I thought that was a great moment for Fletcher to go out there and Fernando gave him nine. He dapped him up like dap and hug nine times. I think it was this steady stream of then they would say something and then he would. Give him a little dap and then hug. And then they'd say something else. He'd do the same thing. It was just weird. Like, Fernando, I was thinking about this. If you didn't see the Fernando Mendoza interview afterwards, I don't want to say what Raheel said in the text string, but he is a different personality. And it's a very friendly, it's a nice one, but he is and Raheel didn't say anything bad. He just, you know, well, he just, I think it was Raheel, but maybe it wasn't. Maybe
no,
I just got
it was
on the
someone
text,
else that his wife said that.
Well, no, somebody.
Somebody's
oh,
wife
okay.
said, is he?
Yeah, it was somebody was just asking basically if he's on the spectrum.
Yeah.
Because his personality is such that it's a really different personality, almost a disconnected personality, but super friendly.
And then he's dropping an F-bomb on the podium.
Who did? Mendoza?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I did not see that.
Yeah. Somebody,
seemed like I would have lost a lot of money if there was Will Fernando Mendoza drop an F-bomb in the post-game speech. I would have said, no, minus one. Not, no,
well,
minus
I don't 6, I don't 000. Know that he did it on the microphone, but somebody said, did you see? I didn't see it. Somebody said, did you see that? He dropped an F-bomb out there on that Let's Effing Go or something to that effect.
No.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's a little different than getting on a mic and saying.
No. He didn't get on the mic.
Beat their F and A's.
Yeah. All right, we got a break.
But he is. I don't know how a locker room. It is going to be a little, like, there's going to be some guys in locker rooms, I think, who are going to have to get used to his personality a little bit, only because he's just such a
– Well,
I don't know how to explain it. He's just different than other people.
Well, if you're the Raiders, you're going to like his personality a lot more than you like Geno Smith's. And nothing against Geno Smith's personality, but that personality comes along with the quarterback play. So,
good.
I mean, you're going to it may take a little while, but you're going to have a big upgrade at quarterback if you when you got Mendoza there. We got a break. Woo!
Nah, it's green light offer. I've got someone I know who has a house that frankly hasn't been lived in over a decade. Probably is a prime candidate for green light offer. So I had a conversation yesterday about this house and why green light offer makes the most sense. It's going to be in disrepair. It's going to need so many updates. It's going to need so much work to it. And green light offer is a perfect example of a house that should be making a phone call to green light offer or going to the website greenlightoffer.com and getting an offer. They are made for this. If you've got a house that, you know, needs a lot of work to get ready to sell and you don't want to go through that hassle, you just want money, Greenlight Offer will come in and they'll give you a fair price, a much fairer price than these people who call you and you've all been cold called. Are you going to sell your property? Greenlight Offer wants to come in, give you a fair price, get closing done in most instances between 7 and 10 days. And then they want to make sure that, you get your money quickly. And that's what they do. It's great for people who have a house that they want their cash for without having to do all the heavy lifting to get it ready to sell and all the pain and headaches that come with that. They're great with dissolution of property for divorces so that you can split the your equity. They're great for people who relocate and need to just move their house quickly. Or, you know, a lot of times people who get a home or property in their will, and they're willed that property, and they say, I don't have any interest in living here, and I don't want to do what it takes to get it ready to sell. Hey, Greenlight Offer is there for you, and they're going to give you legitimate cash offers today. If you want to see what your house might be worth, go to greenlightoffer.com, click the button in the upper right-hand corner, and get started. They also would love to have your phone call so that they can talk to you and walk you through the process if you have any questions. Greenlightoffer.com. My man Sean is ready to take care of you. Greenlightoffer.com.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD. 97.9 HD2. Listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back to ESPN 97.5. So, I think you do, I'm most positive, you follow Jason Braddock. I follow Jason Braddock. He's good, some good Texans information. He's got a lot of opinions about the Texans. I feel like, you know, a lot of good information. He put out his list of 10 biggest needs, and we got a long offseason, so obviously we're going to be talking a lot about the draft and what the Texans are going to do, where they're going to draft, and everything else. But I agree with this. Number one, he's got left guard, then he's got right guard, then he's got center, the three most pressing needs. If we go back to next season, and we have some combination of Ingram, Andrews, and Patterson, two of the three starting. Is that going to be okay?
No.
You don't think so?
No. Moving forward, no. I aspire to something more than that.
Okay.
Two of the three?
Two of the three start, you get, and one no. and one new guy. You got Ursary, who
one,
was a new
I'll
guy this year.
I'll take one of the three.
You
one
got
of the three.
One of the you're okay if it's just going to be one of the three in free agency or draft. You want to see them change out two of those positions.
Yeah, I think you got a chance to get better if you change two of them.
Okay,
I'm trying to get better.
Okay.
How much of your draft and free agency needs to be on the defensive side? I mean, yes, You need to have some.
Well,
you need to have some in terms of just, you know, filling in positions, 1 year guys, like standard stuff. But in terms of your most pressing free agency and your most pressing draft, I would say you can
Did he pull out a wire, Dell?
No, can you not hear me?
Yeah, you just went off, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, anyway, I would put 75 to 80% on towards the offense.
Yeah. Okay. So left guard, right guard, center, running back, defensive tackle, tight end, linebacker, safety, vet wide receiver, cornerback. He's got cornerback 10th. I think cornerback is a much, much bigger
Whose
need.
Is this, John?
Pardon
Whose
me?
Is this priority?
Jason Braddock.
Who put this?
Jason Braddock.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I like Braddock. Braddock knows his stuff.
Braddock knows his stuff.
You think cornerback is a bigger need?
I absolutely. You don't know that Lassiter and Stingley are going to stay healthy. When Tre'Mont Smith came in, it was a disaster. You have got to get somebody that is going to not only, and I think, can fill in as a nickel, but he can fill in on the outside as well.
How high would you place it, though? Because
I would place it fourth or fifth. I would place it fourth or fifth.
Man, but that's depth. There are starters that need to be taken care
of. You don't know that that's depth. And secondly, you could also use him on the field as a nickel. So,
well, it is depth because you're not starting. Well, they're not, but John, they're not replacing Petrie as a nickel. They fundamentally believe Jalen Reed will be the safety, MJ Stewart. Like, they don't have any interest in taking
Bullock.
Petrie out of the nickel.
Yeah. And you got Bullock, you got
Petrie.
Yeah,
I mean, Caleb
you
is your
Reed.
Free safety.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Kalen is your free safety, but their nickel, that was something apparently. D'Amico, this is one of D'Amico's most important roles, is Petrie at nickel. And I got to tell you, I mean, who played better than Jalen Petrie in a postseason?
Yeah.
Will Anderson? I mean, that's about it. Petrie
a lot of that,
great,
though, is the way he played in the run game. A lot of that is he's
well, that's why they have that's why they have him at nickel, because they want to shut down the short throws and the run game. So, I mean, Look, corner doesn't need a starter, but corner does need depth. I'll agree with you. I'd put it higher than 10, just because if one guy goes out, it's a passing league. Well, it has been, but I would agree with you there. But I think, you know what? I didn't bring this up yesterday. Would you be willing to move on from Davis Mills, to move Davis Mills for a fourth rounder, if you could get a fourth for him, maybe a fifth? And then sign Mac Jones and say, look, CJ is the starter, but let Mac Jones' agent know, hey, obviously if CJ doesn't play well, we will give you a chance to, you know, to compete for that job. If you're the Texans, you don't have to bench CJ, but what you have on the bench is maybe a guy who is better than Davis Mills, who has more starting experience, or better starting experience, I should say, because Davis does have starting experience from early in his career. I know the argument would be, well, Davis is going to be cheaper. You already have Davis under contract. Why would you do that? I feel like Mac Jones could have just handed his way off to a Super Bowl appearance and completed some short passes. But at least you have a guy. CJ to me is better than Davis Mills. What I don't know is CJ better than Mac Jones right now? I legitimately don't know. Mac played really well with San Francisco.
Yeah.
At least it gives you somebody that you say could be a quote unquote, you know, one of those quote bridge starter / game managers for you if CJ can't do it. Now, I also think it would cause, I will admit, it would cause some commotion potentially in CJ's own head, and it would cause some commotion with the fan base who'd be ready to go to Mac Jones. Like it would get loud. It would get loud for changing the quarterback. We already had that for Davis Mills. So you can imagine how this would be if you're paying Mac Jones, you know, $17 million a year to be a backup.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, which would be higher than what CJ makes.
So what you're saying, you want to have an option.
Yeah.
Better
I'm
than.
I'm not replacing CJ.
Better
I want
than
a better
Davis
option
Mills.
Yeah, that's all I'm asking. Would you? I don't think the Texans will consider it, because I think there's when I say politics, what I mean by that is politics only meaning they don't, they understand the ramifications of what it could mean for CJ's confidence. But, you know, I think of it this way. If you're that worried about the confidence, is that really the guy? I would hope you look at it like this is going to light a fire under CJ. This is going to get CJ's competitive juices going, you know?
You're just going to – no, you are just flaming the fans. You're fanning the flames of the fan base to call for his head is what you're doing. You're bringing in a better guy than you have at the backup position, and there's already a bunch in the fan base that want to see him on the field. If you bring in somebody better,
are you doing what's best for CJ? When do you do what's best for the team as opposed to what's best for CJ? Yeah. At what point do you start thinking that way? And that's, I don't have an answer, but I'm asking that question legitimately.
It's probably next offseason. It's probably next offseason.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right. Before you get to that 50, but you're going to pay the fifth year anyway. And so now that quarterback position, if you did that, goes to a $45 million quarterback spot, and you will have already done a deal with – I expect Will Anderson to get a deal done this offseason.
Yeah, Will Anderson will. It'll be $26.5 million for CJ in his fifth year.
For Will?
Yeah.
Well, Will Anderson is going to be the highest paid defensive end in the league.
Yes. But Will Anderson, Will Anderson deserves it.
No, I know, but what I'm telling you is that cap is going to start to get shaved down. So Joe Mixon is a cap cut in this offseason, right? You got to be.
Right. In a perfect world, you give this offseason, you give CJ that that fifth-year option, which is $26.5 million. I hate to say it, but I don't know that you're going to be the same team when you're paying CJ $50 million a year and you're paying Will Anderson $35 million, whatever he's going to get.
Well, how are you? I mean, do the math on it. Of course. Well, what it's going to rely on.
The math to me is you're going to be better if you move on.
Look, you're a rookie at right tackle. When that happens, you're a rookie. So Titus Howard will be gone. You'll have a rookie contract at right tackle. You'll be on a rookie contract at left tackle. You will need to make sure you have a rookie contract on at least one, if not two spots on the offensive line. There are some spots. Aziz Alshayer is going to have a hard time hanging on financially. Dalton Schultz will be gone.
You are elite. You're elite right now defensively. Once CJ gets that 50, you're not elite at anything.
Yeah.
You lose that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that
Daniil's going to be gone.
You have to pay for those pay raises. So and this is the problem that you see with the Astros. When the Astros just say we're not going to, it's different. It's different how the structure, you know, the salary structure. But the Texans, once you make those big payments, then you have to subtract something. So what do you subtract? Well, you subtract the higher contracts and you replace them with lower contracts through the draft. Nick is going to have to draft like a mother because he can't afford to miss once you start giving out $30 and $50 million paychecks.
Yep. All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. I want to talk right now about HRP. HRP is where your business gets better. You got to take care of your business. Do you want to stay in business? Do you want to be as good as you can possibly be? You have a lot of responsibility. I don't know how many employees you have, but all of those employees have families, and all those people are depending on you being great as the CEO, as the CFO, doing things right, making it so that, you know, everybody feels secure, that they have a job, that they are going to, that everybody's pulling, everybody's rowing the boat in the same direction, in the right direction, that you're doing things as well as you possibly can, that you're working to be as profitable as you possibly can. And that goes to, and one of the ways that you do that, one of the big ways that you do that, is get the payroll to your people as economically as possible, get it as technologically advanced as you possibly can, do it well, do it more economically, do it cheaper, okay? And then it all goes to the bottom line. It goes to the bottom line. You are better. You are making more money. Everybody feels better. you can stay in business, not only stay in business, but you can thrive. And then maybe hire more people. You think, well, we've got a payroll department and I don't want to get rid of the... You're not getting rid of the... Move those people to other places. Or, you know what? You'll be able to hire people that will be efficient for you if you don't have... We don't have a payroll department. We got one person that's part-time. That's it. And we get it done with a bunch of employees. So you're looking for the best way to get that payroll to your people. Let HRP look at your business and find out how they can help you. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We cannot get away from that Rockets win for this long. So it was the best win of the season. They've been struggling. They have not looked good against the top teams. They didn't look good for a while. Even last night, Ime said, yeah, you know, during the slump, we did blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, wow. I guess it's down. That little run that they had where they lost, what, five or six, that's considered the slump now. So, Kevin Durant was great. He was very efficient offensively. He was great defensively against Wemby. But, you know, that little Reed Shepherd was fun to watch, even for Kevin Durant. They expect Reed Shepherd, when he gets shots, to take those shots. What was it? It was Amen told him, I'm going to punch you in the face if you don't take the shot, if you don't take an open shot.
The next time you pass up an open look, yeah.
Well, Kevin Durant last night had this to say about Reed. He said, now, you know what? I'm expect this from Reed Shepherd. I need to expect this instead of, oh, how great it was.
Reed, that's what's... You know, it feels like that's what his role is starting to turn into, a guy that can handle, that can come off and shoot threes, that can get us going. It's a spark plug for us. So, you know, it's about time. I'm going to start expecting nights like this from him. It's not going to be, you know, I want to get to a point where we don't get excited about nights like this from him. You know what I'm saying? And because I feel like this could be consistent. And I'm not saying average 21 points, don't get me wrong, but just the level of pace that he played with, coming off the screens, getting steals, getting shots up, 17 shots, no turnovers, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like his process was good. And I don't know if it's going to always end up with 21 and 4 made threes, but you never know what can happen from that.
You know,
Kevin Durant feels like a coach who just says, no, I'm saying more.
You know,
like, yeah. he's got a real coachy vibe, which I like. I mean, I like it. I like what I hear from Kevin Durant. He just says, no, I'm saying, more than most coaches would, but yeah. I'm fine with that too. I don't care. Coach Durant could end up being big for two players, Jabari. Well, frankly, three players, I think. Amen, Jabari, and Reed. I don't know about Alpi. I think Alpi's got his own thing going on. I don't think he needs Reed. I don't think he needs Kevin Durant's blessing to be who he's going to be. I get the feeling he's got his own thing going on.
Well, but here's what we need now. He's right. Reed Shepherd can't disappear now for four games, which is what happens with Reed. You know, he'll have a 20, then 6, then 8, then 7, then, you know, I mean, it's happened way too often, as opposed to, you know, 20, 18, 14, 16, 18. He's going to get, I mean, He doesn't play defensively, so Ime pulls him. Whatever the case may be, you know, I don't know him about him shooting 17 shots like he did last night. He's had 21 shots in a game. He had 25 once.
The throat punch or the face punch from Amen.
Yeah.
It's obviously had an effect, because this guy's not afraid to squeeze off a bunch of shots.
No, but it's not. Well, actually, you know, 9, 9, 8, 4, 10, 9, not 10. I guess that's the neighborhood
minutes
he should be in. Although Kevin Durant loved, he looked at it, he goes, last night we got 13 shots, 17 shots, 16 shots. That's the kind of distribution that we want, you know?
Not sticky.
As opposed to, I would prefer Kevin Durant took more shots. That's just me. You know, Kevin Durant should be getting the majority of the shots. Especially with, did you see he's third most minutes per game in the league? That's a bad thing. That's a really terrible
thing.
It was
shocking to see that number.
Yeah.
And it's not like, but it's, you know, what's crazy is because his number, you would think that number would be closer to like 39 minutes, you know, but we're just so used to the numbers being like in the 40s back in the day, and it's not anymore. The numbers have gone so far down for high minutes played that Kevin Durant, how many minutes, I'm looking at his minutes per game, because it's not something that I thought would have been third most, but yet there we are.
Yeah, he's playing 35 minutes a game.
35 minutes a game is almost never. It's 30. Well, last night was 39. But for the season, no, it's 36-6.
36-6, yeah.
36-6. For his career, it's 36-7. But that just goes to show you how far down.
He's 80 years old. You can't do that anymore.
Well, that just goes to show you that 36-6 typically would not break the top five or six at all. But nowadays, yeah, and you're right. If his career is 36-7, he probably needs to be at about 34-5.
Yeah, right, right. And here's the deal.
Look at his career, John, career numbers. Listen to this. This is crazy. He's played 1,162 games in his career, 39 regular season this year. His minutes per game, 36-7. The first one I'm going to read you is career. The second one's this year, 36-7, 36-6. 50.2 field goal, 51.1. 39 three-point, 39.5 three-point. 88.2 free throw, 88.8 free throw. I mean, his rebounds for his career, 6.9 this year, 5.4. Assists, 4.4, 4.6. Blocks, 1.1, 0.9. Steals, 1.0, 0.7. It's turnovers, 3.2, 3.1. And then points is 27.2 career, 25.9 this year. What an insane level of consistency from Kevin Durant. Insane. But three of the last five games, he's played 39 minutes or more. He's played, in his last five games, he's played 39, 36, 40, 37, 40. I did not expect that to be the case because I figured, well, you got Tari, you got Finney Smith, you got Jabari. They'll probably keep him, you know, they want to keep him fresh to the playoffs to make sure there's no injuries. So he'll probably play about 33, 34 minutes a game. That's not been the case so far.
And he went down last night. He went down hard last night. I was
your mouth.
We can't do that. Can't do that.
Are we going to talk about the fact that defensively the Rockets have, you know, stepped up 106, 110, 105, 90, or 111 for the Oklahoma City Thunder, which is always more of a grind, and then 113 against the Bulls. It's not, you know, we're not talking insanely low 102 points a game, but they have been better. They have been better defensively lately. They're not giving up the big 125 point outbursts as much now. It's they've locked in a little bit better defensively.
They have their stinkers every once in a while. New Orleans put up 133. Denver put up 128.
Yeah, but not. Know. It hasn't been over the last
they
five.
Went through a bad. They went through a bad stretch where they gave up 133. Well, 95, 98, 122, 113, 128, 133, 125, 128. Yeah, I mean those are stinkers. But you're right. Lately they've been much better. Listen, last night looked like they were going to give up 150. And then all of a sudden they just shut it down. They just shut it down. But back to Reed for a second. He plays, you know, his biggest games, 21 points he shot 17 times. 20 points he shot 21 times. He had 18 on 12. That was really efficient. He had 31 on 25. He seems to be, you know, a lot of times, 27 on 13 shots. He seems to be better when he... It might take him. It seems like it takes him a little while to get going, and a lot of times I don't think Ime has the patience for him to wait for him. But you know, he put up 12 in the fourth quarter last night. He doesn't have that game. You don't win. You just don't win. And Ime had the patience to keep him in there in the fourth quarter. You know, sometimes he doesn't have the patience because he'll get beat defensively, and he may just like, that's all. Come over here. Sit down.
Yeah. And that should be, and sometimes that should be that way. That's part of your job, too.
Yeah. Yep. He just seems to be better the more shots. I guess that's everybody. You get more shots, and you're going to be better.
Well, I like the fact that Ime does not, you know, he's not one of these, like, high school coaches who's, you know, like, oh, that's a bad shot. Come sit by me. Ime gives you – he gives you your freedom to play how you're going to play offensively as long as you defend. As long as you defend, he will put up with way more offensively than he will defensively.
Yep. All right, 713-780-3776. You want to get in here? I know that we're getting towards, and it's cold out. It's going to be cold out. Sunday, Monday, it's going to be freezing. You're going to get down to 20s in Houston. It is time for you to think about warm weather, when you're going to be out at the pool, when you're going to have that patio furniture. You're going to be sitting out there with that patio furniture. And this cold weather, all that, you know, it ain't helping. It ain't going to help your metal. It ain't going to help your patio furniture look any better. I can tell you that. And here's the deal. Houston Powder Coat, why don't you go let Houston Powder Coaters pick up your patio furniture now. Get it powder coated. They'll probably say, oh, you don't think those ovens are warm where they're powder coating? Yeah, they are. Keep your patio furniture warm. And think about it now, because it takes 4, 6, 8, 10 weeks for them to get that back to you. That's when it's going to start to get nice now. You're in January. You want to be out there in March. Let's go. Get your patio furniture. Get your pool furniture, which you're going to start to use in March and April. Get it done now. Now's the time to go to HoustonPowderCoaters.com. Tell Robin exactly what you need. She'll tell you whether to keep it or buy new stuff. She'll tell you whether or not they can help you or not. She'll help you pick the colors, everything else. Houston Powder Coaters has been doing it. They're great. Do it now. HoustonPowderCoaters.com, HoustonPowderCoaters.com.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
ESPN 97.5, KFNC 97.9, HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
Presented by Zadok Jewelers.